The epistle for today, the external solemnity of St. Anne, our patroness, is taken from the book of Proverbs. When one finds a worthy wife, her value is far beyond pearls. Her husband, entrusting his heart to her, has an unfailing prize. She brings him good and not evil all the days of her life. She obtains wool and flax and makes cloth with skillful hands. Like merchant ships, she secures her provisions from afar. She rises while it is still night and distributes food to her household. She picks out a field to purchase. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is girt about with strength and sturdy are her arms. She enjoys the success of her dealings. At night, her lamp is undimmed. She puts her hands to the distaff and her fingers ply the spindle. She reaches out her hands to the poor and extends her arms to the needy. She fears not the snow for her household. All her charges are doubly clothed. She makes her own coverlets. Fine linen and purple are her clothing. Her husband is prominent at the city gates as he sits with the elders of the land. She makes garments and sells them and stocks the merchants with belts. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs at the days to come. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and on her tongue is kindly counsel. She watches the conduct of her household, and eats not her food in idleness. Her children rise up and praise her. Her husband, too, extols her. Many are the women of proven worth, but you have excelled them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting. The woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a reward of her labors, and let her works praise her at the city gates. Please stand for the gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to his disciples. The kingdom of heaven is like to a treasure hidden in a field. He who finds it hides it, and in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he finds a single pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea that gathered in fish of every kind. When it was filled, they hauled it out, and sitting down on the beach, they gathered the good fish into vessels, but threw away the bad. So will it be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from among the just, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, so then every scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings forth from his storeroom things new and old. Thus are the words of today's holy gospel. Please be seated. Since this is the last day of the novena to St. Anne, and since after the Mass we will just have the recessional, we will pray the novena prayer to St. Anne. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O glorious St. Anne, filled with compassion for those who invoke thee, and with warm love for those who suffer, we kneel before you and ask you to take under thy special protection our parish and families. Be pleased to commend us to thy daughter, the Blessed Virgin Mary, so that she would intercede before the throne of Jesus for us. Cease not also to intercede and obtain for me the grace of one day beholding my God face to face, and with thee and Mary and all the saints, of praising and blessing him for all eternity. Amen. Good Saint Anne, mother of her who is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, pray to her for us and obtain our request. Good Saint Anne, mother of her who is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, pray to her for us and obtain our request. Good Saint Anne, mother of her who is our life, our sweetness, and our hope, pray to her for us and obtain our request. Please be seated. We'll begin this sermon with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There was once a woman who walked to the city of Shiloh from Mount Ephraim in Israel. She was going on an important mission. Every year she would go on this journey. She would go with grief in her heart, and she would return every year more afflicted than before. In no way did she give up the purpose, however, of her mission. She made this journey year after year, as every one of her countrymen were bound to do, to offer worship and render thanks to Almighty God. She fulfilled this mission even though she was suffering intensely from something. She always gave thanks to God. This woman was the butt of every other woman's reproach and scorn. She suffered this for years in silence. During these journeys, she prayed for an intention very important to her. And although she was praying for this intention of hers, she was not being selfish, because through her petition, she wanted to give glory to Almighty God. What was this woman's reproach that she suffered? Why was she the butt of every other woman's jokes and scorn? Well, she was reproached because she was barren. And in those days, days when people only counted the blessings that were visible, to have no children was seen as a curse, as a reproach. So what intention was so important to her through which she wanted to give glory to God? Well, she wanted to give a child to the service of the Lord. That was her prayer intention. One day, while she was praying at the temple, weeping, the high priest happened to notice her. She prayed with her lips and not with her voice, and so the priest just saw her there, thought she was drunk. After hearing what she had to say, the high priest prayed that she be given the child that she asked for, and so it happened. She and her husband had a child. True to her promise, when the child was just 3 years old, she gave the child to the service of the Lord in the temple. When she went to offer this child up to the Lord's service, she also offered up another sacrifice, 3 calves, and also a sacrifice of flour, that is bread, and a bottle of wine as a sacrifice. The woman's name was Anna. The child was the child Samuel. When Samuel grew up, he was told by God to go to Bethlehem to anoint the boy who was found shepherding the sheep near Bethlehem, David, as king. However, obviously this isn't the Anna whose feast we are celebrating this weekend. This is the Anna of the Old Testament. So why are we talking about this Anna? Let's consider these facts from Anna's life. The Old Testament Anna was the reproach of other women because she was barren. She had no children. Year after year, she still went to the temple, offered her praise, offered thanks to Almighty God, year after year after year, though she was personally suffering, and though she was personally the reproach of so many women who had their children. When she did have a child, she offered him at age 3 to serve God in the temple. Her offspring, Samuel, was the one who, when he grew up, was sent by God to go to Bethlehem to anoint the boy who was found among the shepherds near Bethlehem, David, as king of the Israelites. Finally, when this Anna gave her child to God's service, she offered along with this sacrifice another sacrifice, the sacrifice of the 3 calves, 3 measures of flour, that is, bread and wine. So what do these facts of the Old Testament, Anna, have to do with St. Anne, whom we're celebrating today? Everything. You see, Anna of the Old Testament is what we call a type of Saint Anne. Now, what's a type? A type is a person, place, an institution, or a thing which really existed, but it was meant by God primarily to point to something that's going to come in the future, sort of like a prophecy. So the second person, place, institution, or thing that the type points to is actually the more important one. That's the fulfillment of the prophecy. So Anna is an Old Testament type of Saint Anne. So if she points to Saint Anne, let's look again at a few of these details of the life of the Old Testament Anna. The Old Testament Anna was the reproach of other women for not having the blessings of this life, and for not having children for so many years. Saint Anne was reproached by other women also for not having children for many decades. Year after year, the Old Testament Anna completed her duty of worshiping and giving thanks to Almighty God anyway, though she was personally suffering, and it looked as though her prayer was being unanswered. The New Testament Saint Anne completed her duties of worshiping and thanking God, even though she had no children, and she suffered intensely year after year, and her prayers seemed to be going unanswered. In fact, she was so thankful to God, and she gave so much to God, that in her charity, year after year, she and her husband, Saint Joachim, would give a third of their income to the poor, the other third to the temple, and they would live off the remaining third. When the Old Testament Anna finally had a child, she offered him at age 3 to serve God in the temple. When Saint Anne had a child, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, she offered her also at age 3, to be raised up and to serve God in the temple. The offspring of the Old Testament Anna, Samuel, was the one who, when he grew up, was sent by God to Bethlehem, to the boy who was found among the shepherds in Bethlehem, David, to anoint him as king. Well, the offspring of Saint Anne, the Blessed Virgin Mary, was the one who, when she grew up, was also asked by God to go to Bethlehem, to give birth to the King of Kings, a boy who was also brought into this world among the shepherds near Bethlehem. Finally, when the Old Testament Anna offered her child to God's service, she also offered another sacrifice. Remember the calves, the 3 measures of flour, and the wine. That is, the calves, a sacrifice of flesh and blood, bread and wine. When the New Testament, Saint Anne, offered her child to God's service, another sacrifice followed this one, a sacrifice also of flesh and blood, under the appearances of bread and wine, the Most Holy Eucharist. Right here in our temple today, flesh and blood, under the appearance of bread and wine. So what's the point of all these similarities? Why would God go through so much trouble to make these lives so parallel and record all the details in 1 Kings chapter 1, also known as 1 Samuel chapter 1? Well, let St. Cyprian, doctor of the church, answer the question. Quote, Anna is a type of the church, carrying the Lord, praying to him not with loud petitions, but silently and modestly within the secluded place of the heart. She spoke not with the voice, but with the heart, for God knows how to hear the prayers of the heart. Close quote, St. Cyprian, doctor of the church. St. John Chrysostom points out this question. Do you want to learn how to pray, to watch with one's soul? Go to Anna, he says. We need to be ready, he says. We need to be ready to pray, having firmly set ourselves in hope, in prayer, having our senses subdued with due modesty. Let one's prayer never stop. Close quote, St. John Chrysostom. Let one's prayer never stop. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the following type of prayer is infallibly successful. A prayer is infallible if it meets these conditions. The first condition that a prayer be infallibly successful is that we're asking for ourselves. Now, why is this? Each person has free will. And if they choose not to go to God, God will not force them. He's a gentleman. He won't go where he's not asked. So if we're not asking for God, he can't go there. But if we are asking for God, in other words, if we're praying for ourselves, then you've opened the door to Almighty God. So that's the first condition, that we're praying for ourselves. The second condition that our prayer be infallibly successful is that we're praying for things necessary for salvation. And this is what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Consider what his name means. The name of our blessed Lord means God saves. Okay, so when we pray in our Lord's name, we're praying for something that's toward our salvation. Okay, so that's the prayer that he will grant infallibly. The third condition that we have our prayers infallibly heard is that we pray piously, that is respectfully. This is Almighty God whom we're approaching. So we pray piously with reverence. The fourth condition that our prayer be infallibly successful is that we pray perseveringly. How many people give up because they think the prayer is not being heard? What if Saint Anne had given up? Let one's prayer never stop. If we want to learn how to pray, go to Anne. Saint Anne, prefigured by the Anna of the Old Testament, teaches us to pray with confidence, perseveringly. For many decades, Saint Anne also prayed for a child for the glory of God, and look how her perseverance was rewarded. She was given a child, the mother of Almighty God, the Blessed Virgin Mary. The intercessory prayer of Saint Anne is powerful. A couple of weeks ago, we saw some examples from parishioners right here among our parish. Miracles of grace that have happened among our parishioners because of the intercessory power of Saint Anne. If, as Saint James 5:16 says, that the continual prayer of a just man availeth much, of how much more value is the continual prayer of the only grandmother of the Lord? He is God. He's love itself. And he also has a human heart. He hears the prayers of his own grandmother. He honors her, and he hears her prayers for love of her. As St. Paul tells us, there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But Christ wills to have other mediators under him, special mediators under him, that they might ask our Lord, Christ Jesus, for the things for people who are less worthy. Think of Moses interceding for the Israelites in the desert. Think of the Levitical priests praying for the Jews. Think of the high priest in today's story praying for Anna that she would have a child. 1 Timothy 2, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 3. Says that, quote, I desire, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Close quote, the Word of God. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3 tells us that intercession for all is acceptable and good in the sight of God. That's the Word of God. Don't listen to this garbage about don't pray to saints. Go directly to Christ. He wants intercessors. This is good and acceptable before Almighty God if you believe the Word of God. 1 Timothy 2, 1. Why, though, would God use creatures? Why not do things directly? Why does God work through Saint Anne? Well, God loves performing his marvels through his creation. This shows the power of God all the more, that he works through his creatures. Think of how God used the statue that he commanded Moses to make in Numbers 21, verse 8. The statue of the serpent that he was to place on the stick, that all those who were bitten by the serpents that looked upon the statue of a serpent placed up high would be healed. Well, in Numbers 21:8, God commanded this statue of a serpent to be made, placed up on high, as a foreshadowing, first of all, of our Lord, who appeared guilty, who appeared as a serpent, right? Crucified between two thieves. He was placed up on high on the cross. But notice what he did, though. God worked this miracle of healing all the people through this statue which Moses was commanded to make by God in Numbers 21:8. So in other words, God can use creatures, and he has used creatures, as Sacred Scripture records, to work blessings. Think about what we're going to be doing today in the procession today, the running of the saints. We're taking a statue, setting it up on high, a blessed statue, with the blessing of God to sanctify the area, to sanctify the city, and to sanctify all of us. This is what we're doing. We're just reliving what happened in Numbers 21:8. God loves to work through creatures. He loves to work through creatures, and especially His most beloved. We're not setting up a serpent up on high and running it through the streets. We're holding up high the servants of God, His saints, and running them through the streets. Because we're proud of them. These are saints that we're proud of. Our blessed Lord loved His holy grandmother so much that He prefigured her by the Old Testament Anna, pre-announcing her in this way through the whole life of Anna, so that we would know how much He loves her, how much He honors her, and how important and powerful her intercession is for us, and also to teach us how we are to pray for our salvation, piously, for ourselves, perseveringly. Think about what God is giving us through giving us St. Anne as an intercessor. This is how much God loves us. God gives to us, we who crucified Him, His own beloved grandmother, His own beloved mother who watched Him get crucified. He gives these two beloved family members of His to us that we can have them as intercessors before Him in heaven. That's how much Almighty God loves us. That He gives us His saints, His friends, as our friends. Let one's prayer never stop. If we want to learn how to pray, go to Anne. To learn how to pray, go to St. Anne. May Our Lady of the Rosary pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.